Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Swade at the network, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. In just a moment, Michael Lett, CEO and founder of InvestUSA, with his latest report. Seton Motley will be along, president of Less Government. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with all of his latest. Yeah, it should be a green day today. You know, you just never know. Got a little bit of news also coming up. We'll do that after Seton Motley's here. In fact, I was going to tell you about, hang on 1 second here. Seton Motley is going to be talking about crime waves, Elon Musk attacks, should be very interesting. And when Selwyn Duke gets here, interesting and you might say a comical report, Einstein, they're not. City officials conned into signing an agreement with a fake country. Boy, just when you thought things couldn't go wrong here. All right, so let me see here. Not getting Michael Letts, I guess. Oh, there it is. I am so sorry. Yeah, it was on top of something else there, and it's totally my fault. Here's a question for you. Is the government keeping a close eye on its citizens through something as simple as gun purchases? New report from Epoch Times indicates that could be the case. The report notes that according to the Senior Vice President of Gun Owners of America, Eric Pratt, the agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, have been monitoring innocent people to keep track of both their general income and gun purchases, a very questionable tactic, if true. The Epic Times came across new documents in the midst of its Freedom of Information Act lawsuit indicating that ATF agents requested surveillance by the FBI using the aforementioned reasons above, as well as what they call bizarre messages. Congress needs to rein in this rogue agency by either exercising oversight over it or abolishing the unconstitutional agency altogether, said Pratt. And this isn't the first time that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, has come into question. As whistleblowers in the past, most of them former employees, have discussed the group's monitoring angry parents, Christians, and other types of basics of constitutionally protected actions. Well, joining us now to discuss this further is Michael Letts, law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience under his belt. And Letts is president, founder, and CEO for InvestUSA. That's an organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers through various charitable groups and sponsorships. So his expertise, always welcome. Hey, thank you, Michael. Sorry it took me a little moment there to get you back on.
No, you're fine, Chuck. Always a privilege to be on your show. And, yes, it continues to escalate at a very rapid pace where we have rogue federal agencies now bent on making sure that they do everything they can to harass and intimidate the American people. So why would they do such a thing? They want to make sure they have the ability to seize the firearm. They've got to get control of guns if they're going to control the populace. That's their final obstacle.
So why do you believe that the ATF would have the FBI monitor someone merely based on low salaries, potentials for criminal acts, or perhaps something else?
Well, no, here's what we're finding out, and this is what is shocking, Chuck. This is not hearsay. This is not speculation. These are actual documents from the FBI, ATF, and others that were not supposedly part of the request. They just happened to fall in line because some of the documents had some of the information that they were requesting under an FOI. When you delve into it deeper, you find all kind of additional information you never asked for. Here's where the dilemma is. First of all, Chuck, it's shocking. ATF and the FBI never usually work together. You know, agencies don't like to work with each other. So you have the FBI and ATF cooperating together to monitor people based on criteria. How much income you have, how many guns do they know that you have purchased, do you have any bizarre, and of course, remember, they determine what bizarre is, any bizarre posts or social media connections. They even are able to monitor telephone conversations. Now, Chuck, that is tyranny and dictatorship at its best. That is not what this country is all about. And as was aptly pointed out a minute ago, we don't bring it in and rein it in now, we're never going to get a chance.
Well, Michael, does the government have any right to know who's making gun purchases? How far is too far when it comes to obtaining information on who's purchasing what and what it's being used for?
The answer to that is absolutely not. They have no right. And somebody, we've had this question raised a couple times across the country. Well, is it not important to know if somebody's got 20 guns? Why would they need 20 guns? The response is the Second Amendment was put into place to allow the citizens to protect themselves from tyrannical form of government. It wasn't a hunting license. It wasn't the ability to go out and shoot bottles off of fences. It was specifically done to empower the citizens to be able to control their own destiny, knowing that you cannot control your destiny if somebody's got a gun to your head and you have no way to respond. So that having been said, it is no business of the government whether you feel comfortable that one firearm protects you or that 50 firearms are needed to protect your property and your family. That is an individual, constitutionally guaranteed decision that you and you alone need to make. The point is, it is never the role and responsibility of the government to monitor citizens just because of the fact they fear what they may do in the future. The only legal right they have is to monitor those who have been identified as terrorists, and there's a reason why they're on the terrorist watch list. That is the only thing that they should be monitoring, not law-abiding American citizens.
So this isn't the first time that we've heard about the FBI conducting questionable surveillance as they reportedly keep tabs on such types as angry parents and Christians. Is FBI Director Christopher Wray just picking and choosing who to go after at this point, or is this an agenda that comes maybe from a higher office?
It's an agenda that comes from the top, quite frankly. You know, there's no question the paper trail is there. You're seeing that paper trail get uncovered more and more each day. You're seeing more and more issues where how is that paper trail being uncovered? Well, we're finding out that China is paying this administration for its assets and for its determination as to where this country should head. We're being controlled by China. Our borders are being controlled by cartels. This administration has done everything they can to sell out the American people. In the old days, Chuck, that was called treason. We dealt with it appropriately. In the new days, we need to get back to the same thing. We can never afford to allow our freedoms and liberties to be taken from us by a rogue government. And that's why the Second Amendment was put into place. That is exactly why it needs to stay in place. And that is exactly why at InVest, not only are we making sure that our law enforcement officers have active shooter vests to protect themselves, but we're encouraging every American to make sure that you own a firearm legally and responsibly and know how to use it. Because we are fast approaching the aspect to where the thin blue line will not be able to sustain violent criminals anymore. It's going to be up to you to protect yourself and your family.
Do you believe this report will assist the ongoing investigation into the Department of Justice and the FBI that's being conducted by the appointed committee? And also, do you expect them to make any sort of traction this year?
Yes, I do expect them to make traction. However, their traction is only going to come from pressure from the American people. It's very simple. What are we asking the American people to join us in doing today? There are two aspects that the House of Representatives, which is the only aspect that we have that's controlled by Republicans at the moment, can do to start to bring this matter under control. First of all, the budget originates in the House. So it's time to say, Department of Justice, Bureau, and others, here's your budget. It's a nice budget, but guess what? You don't get to see it anymore until you start cooperating and giving the information that this committee, by law, deserves. And we're going to review and hold you accountable. And hold your gun if they won't give the information, because here's what they've done. These agencies have used this slip tactic. Oh, well, that's under investigation, so we can't talk about it. We can't provide the information. Chuck, there is nothing in the law that says that if something is under investigation, you cannot comment. Protocol over the years has determined that, you know, we're careful what we say because we don't want to compromise an investigation. But there's no mandate, there's no law that requires that. And the public's best interest at this stage with what's going on with our federal agencies is more important than any investigation they're doing. Absolutely. And then, of course, the second thing, Chuck, is it's time for a military tribunal. If they will not respond to a budgetary constraint, it's time for the military tribunal to bring these agencies to justice.
So would that be one of the actions you're hoping to see from the FBI and other government officials? And also, does Ray need to resign and let a new director take over? And I see money probably playing a part in that, too. But what would you do if you were asked for a plan of action?
I think immediately, not just, first of all, you have to start at the top. Now, I'm not talking about just the presidency. I'm talking about the bureau is controlled by the Department of Justice. It's controlled by the Attorney General. Attorney General needs either resign or be impeached. Second of all, the heads of those agencies need either to resign or be impeached. Thirdly, we need to then determine a full evaluation of each agency. How deep does the corruption go? Can we salvage it, or do we need to disband the entire agency and start over again? Some of these agencies we could disband, quite frankly, Chuck, and probably never realize that we disbanded them. Probably be just fine without them. Those are the plans that we need to take action.
Well, you know what? I talk to you quite frequently, and sometimes we just don't get around to one of your great accolades, because you are the creator of Invest USA. And I want to tell you, listener, it's an organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers through various charitable groups and sponsorships, and first responders, and, I mean, unbelievable. Tell me more about what's going on and why support for fellow officers is so important right now.
Well, thank you, Chuck. The reason why Invest is so important is because we provide active shooter vests to the 90% of officers who do not have them. Active shooter vests will stop a long-range rifle round. We have now had more officers targeted than any time in our history, more deaths than any time in our history. The criminals are out to eliminate us. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and others are playing a key role in that. And so it's important that these officers know that the public supports them and keeping them safe. If they know the public supports them, then they're backing you 100%. Let's please not allow the law enforcement to think that nobody cares, and they might as well do whatever a corrupt justice system and a corrupt administration asks them to do. They have got to stand there. They are our thin blue line between tyranny and freedom in this country. And I think we as Americans can make sure that that is solidified. If we rally around our first responders and say, we've got your badges like you expect you to have ours, that's going to make a huge difference.
I think a lot of people, Michael, just automatically think that vests come with a job, and apparently they don't. Where can we learn more about Invest USA and how those interested can help the fellow officers and frontline people?
You go to our website, that's INVESTUSA.org. It's a charity. They'll find a litter of everything we've talked about, all they need to do to help our officers, all they need to do to help their communities be safe. No fun living in a community if you don't feel safe to go to the grocery store. And how to take our country, our freedoms back. We do not have a two-tier justice system in this country. That's what we're currently having now. It's time that we as Americans realize there is a price to freedom. It's not just on the battlefield. There's a price to freedom by being a citizen. Being a citizen means being involved in making sure that we hold our government accountable to abide by the Constitution that has worked so well for 250 years.
So once again, it's investusa.org. Is that right?
That's correct. Thank
okay.
you,
Okay. Thank you. Michael Lett, CEO and founder of Invest USA. We'll be back in just a moment with Seton Motley.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us, that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. Friend Chuck Wilder here, and pardon me. Let's go to my guest right now, the one and only Seton Motley. He is president of Less Government, and their website is lessgovernment.org. Seton, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I am fair to partly cloudy. I'll put it that way. Yes. Hey, interesting report you have here, Crime Wave, SVB, Elon Musk attacks, anarcho-tyranny incarnate. Wow, that's a mouthful, Seton. But,
well, anarcho-tyranny is not my concept. It was invented in the 1990s to describe what's happening then and what's happening worse now, which is you've got to get where they want to go. The powers that be are partly anarchists and partly tyrants. The anarchy part is, as we see in the major cities, you've got these prosecutors that are letting everybody, all the criminals, back out on the street without, you know, no bail.
Yeah.
Murderers get released. You know, all that stuff going on. That's the anarchy part. Meanwhile, the tyrannical part is they won't prosecute murderers and rapists, but they'll send 30 FBI agents to a pro-lifer's house because he was praying across from an abortion clinic. That's the tyranny part, and that's how they're going to get to where they want to go. They want to get to the end game, which is the anarchy. Most humans, by human nature, when they're faced with a choice between total anarchy, like you're seeing in the major cities, or a complete tyranny, they'll choose tyranny because they want their street to be safe. They're tired of watching, you know, murders and rapes and crime and robberies happen in their neighborhoods, on their streets. So in desperation, when foisted upon them only two choices, complete anarchy or complete tyranny, they'll choose tyranny. And so they're fomenting anarchy in order to get to their ultimate goal, which is tyranny. And that's why you see the January 6th people, you know, which we now know almost none of them committed any crimes whatsoever. They were in jail in solitary with no bail, no right to call an attorney for years. And years and years and years worth of Antifa slash Black Lives Matter riots, nobody was pursued, let alone prosecuted. It's this, you know, there's obviously a cronyism facet involved, which is, you know, prosecute our political enemies and leave our political friends alone. But it's the ultimate end game is to create so much anarchy we're begging for tyranny.
Isn't it amazing, though, how the Democrats can get away with it? You know, if the Republicans ever tried something like that, locking people up, you know, for no reason or a made-up reason, you know, or arresting somebody and overdoing it, you know, especially if, you know, if you're a political figure on the conservative side, you know, they'll take 14 arresting officers or whatever with machine guns instead of just two people. It's like, how in the world do they get away with it, you know, with that many people?
Hello?
Yeah, I guess he can't hear me. Can you hear me okay, Seton? All righty, testing 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Okay, we're going to call him back. But you notice, pardon me, listener, that when all of a sudden, you know, that you go out to arrest a conservative that did something, you know, they'll wait until he gets to where they can have a big audience during the arrest. And look at what they do to some people. They have boats waiting and everything else, machine guns, and they notify CNN that we're about to arrest this conservative. Yes, because he dares talk back to us or say that maybe we're wrong about something. Anarcho-tyranny, that's what we're discussing with Seton Motley, and we're going to have him back in just a moment. We're also getting ready to go into that break. pardon me. Clear as criminality and law enforcement. And it, when crime is a leading public concern, civil authorities will change abruptly the definition of crime by expanding it to include the innocent and the law-abiding to avoid any serious challenge, you see, to real criminals. Okay, going to see if we can hook back up with Seton here in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In an offbeat but engaging true story, Sean Astin plays a struggling businessman who gives a life-changing gift to his Holocaust survivor father, played by Judd Hirsch, in the family comedy I, Mordecai.
This is my father, Mordecai, and this is the story of how one small change,
the new iPhone,
opened up his world.
Hello! This is first iPhone call.
And for a movie that's all about an iPhone, the title I, Mordecai, of course, begins with a lowercase I. And Carol Kane is on board to give an uppercase performance as the main character's long-suffering wife battling the beginnings of dementia. It's all affectionate and occasionally touching, despite some detracting animated interludes showing both sweetness and heartbreak of the distant past. Officially unrated, but with its adult themes and language, it would probably earn a PG-13. 2.5 stars for director Marvin Samuel's tribute to his own family, I, Mordecai, which is more than an ad for the iPhone.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub, with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself? Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you been.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call Smart Fares first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and Smart Fares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call Smart Fares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder, with my guest, Seton Motley. You know, if they can't censor your program, they might censor your phone. Right, Seton? Little
That's there. Right, yes. The FCC is not for me.
I'll tell you. You know, it's like you say here, creating easy targets to prove they are doing something. While leaving the real criminals alone, yes. And Selwyn and I weren't doing nothing. We talk about animals. I couldn't blame it on my dog because the dog was asleep. So there. The dog ate my homework and my microphone, yes.
That's right.
But anyway, basically.
Sorry,
you know,
about that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah. You know, it is how they do overkill, you know, whenever they go after conservative. It's so
yep.
obvious, so obvious. Yeah. But go ahead.
I mean, they send 20, you know, like I said, they sent 20 FBI agents to a pro-life guy who'd already volunteered to come in peacefully.
Yeah.
But no, they wanted to scare his kids and send 20 FBI, armed FBI agents to his house and take him after he'd already volunteered to go in.
Yeah, I think he only lived about a half a block away where he was going.
Right. I mean, that was like when they put, remember when they put Peter Navarro in ankle shackles
right,
at Reagan
right.
Airport when he mm-hmm. when he'd already, again, he lived a half a mile from the FBI office. He said, "I'll come in. It's no problem." They said, "No, you don't have to do that." Then they waited for him to go to the airport and they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're dealing with. And you know, one of the lesser discussed, unfortunately, examples of this in the Biden administration is the Federal Trade Commission. And, you know, the Republicans stupidly confirmed this woman, Lina Khan, to head the commission. And she's already forced a Republican to resign. Christine Wilson wrote an op-ed for Wall Street Journal and said, "I'm out of here because this woman is so tyrannical and so off the rails and hiding what she's doing from us as members of the commission."
Mm-hmm.
And again, look, I want some action out of the FTC. I think Google, controlling 92% of all search web searches in the United States, is a problem. It's a problem from a market standpoint, from a free market standpoint, especially when you look at some of the ways they got there, which is anytime anybody gets remotely close to competing with them, they buy them or sue them into non-existence. That's a Federal Trade Commission thing. Is the FTC looking at that? They've filed a preliminary cursory paper to make it look like they are. But what are they actually doing? They're blocking, you know, Microsoft is a big tech company that doesn't play the game the way the other big tech companies do. So FTC is going aggressively trying to block Microsoft from buying a gaming company called Activision, because that's what's really important in the United States, is there aren't enough people making video games. That's what's really important, is we've got to break up the video game monopoly.
You mentioned Activism. Is that a gaming, or is that also a search engine?
No, Activision makes games.
Oh, okay.
And Microsoft makes Xbox.
Yeah.
And they want to acquire Activision to acquire the games Activision has created. And, you know, okay, if there's only two main gaming platforms. There's Xbox and there's PlayStation. So if you want to say there's some consolidation in the gaming industry, okay, but is that really the most important, vital thing we need to worry about, is consolidation in the gaming industry? I think consolidation in the search industry is, you know, far more important. And say there's two companies. Let's say they're roughly 50-50, PlayStation and Xbox. Okay, Google's 92%. Of the search market, which is, by the way, far more important to the economy and our civil discourse, because when I search, I wrote this piece on Wednesday, I then searched for it on Google on Thursday, and by the title, I copied and pasted the title, and my article isn't on the first page of the returns on Google, because they're hiding me, because I'm a conservative.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I think that's far more important to be addressed by the Federal Trade Commission than worrying about the consolidation in the gaming industry. You've got the big four airlines, United, Southwest, American, and Delta, that control 84% of all passenger flight in the United States. You've got the number six and number seven, JetBlue and Spirit, trying to merge. And the FTC is trying to block number six and number seven getting together. They would control a combined 5% of the marketplace if they got together. And because the big four bribes the government with campaign contributions and jobs on the way out the door, they're helping the big four and blocking number six and seven. So again, I'd like some action out of the FTC, but it's this anarcho-tyranny action we're getting from the FTC, where they're helping their cronies, they're ignoring the cronies' domination of market spaces and going after the enemy, the competitors of the cronies, on behalf of the cronies. And that's anarcho-tyranny. That's going after the pro-lifer with 20 FBI agents and ignoring 5 years of Antifa riots. That's what you're seeing in the FTC today under Lina Khan and the Biden administration.
Yeah, you also say the FCTC's Twitter privacy investigations have ramped up since Elon Musk takeover. A little jealous.
Yeah, they're demanding information on who Elon gave the Twitter files to, which is journalism and sources, which is a First Amendment protected thing.
Yeah,
and part of what they're doing, going after Elon's Twitter, is going after how he handled the distribution of the Twitter files. They're not looking at the Twitter files and Twitter colluding with government to censor speech, which is unconstitutional and not really in the FTC's purview, but they're trying to eviscerate the First Amendment by demanding sources be revealed because they don't like what the sources reveal.
And you talk about this new hire, Sarah Miller, highlights close relationships between the FTC and the left-wing advocacy groups that objected to Musk Twitter takeover. Musk, you got to give this guy credit. He's doing a lot of things, and a lot of things are very successful.
Well,
especially in
space. I actually didn't like him until he bought Twitter, because he's one of the biggest welfare recipients on the planet.
Really?
All his business endeavors are government subsidized. Tesla is an electric car. It's fake energy. He's using batteries that have been subsidized hundreds of billions of dollars by government. His solar panel company, solar panels, heavily subsidized by government, couldn't exist without government money. So he's a big welfare queen, and has been. That's how he built his empire. Now he built his empire with government welfare, but now he's using it to out censorship of Twitter. So I'm very appreciative of that, and that was very, very helpful. But how he got his money? He's a total left wing crony fake capitalist. He's everything. All his industries wouldn't exist without government money.
Wow. Here I sit, didn't realize how dumb I was when it comes to Elon Musk. And I was more impressed with all the rockets, you know, and what they were doing.
Well, that's government money too, of course, because they've outsourced from NASA to
and they own the universe, right? The government, they own that universe, and Russia apparently didn't know that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean that's government money too. Now that's government contracts versus subsidies, so that's a little different. But again, his entire empire was built on government money. He started out as being a owner of PayPal, and so he became a billionaire when they sold PayPal to eBay. I think they sold it to eBay. Yeah. So he and Peter Thiel and four or five others became billionaires because of that private sector transaction. That was a real private sector endeavor. They saw a hole in the economy. They created PayPal. eBay for a while tried to come up with their own version of PayPal and could not. And they finally just gave up and bought PayPal. And Elon got very rich after that. Now, Peter Thiel afterwards became a venture capitalist and started investing in other private businesses that he liked. He'd interview people and meet with them, and he and his people would decide, we want to invest in this company, we don't invest. That's the way the private sector is supposed to work. Elon got his PayPal money and immediately went to the government trough and went into solar panels and electric batteries and all these things that couldn't exist without hundreds of billions of dollars of government money. So they took two different paths after they split PayPal money together.
Hey, listen, before I have to let you go, and I know you're running a little over time here, but speaking of electric batteries and Elon Musk and the cars and all that, did you hear where they're going to have to remove the AM radios from all their smart cars?
I had not. Oh, you mean the electric cars or the AI cars?
Well, I think it would be the AI and electric. I'm not sure, but they're saying that it messes up so many components in their new car. They're going to get AM radio has some high ratings, you know, mainly because of emergency alerts and also, you know, like baseball and football games.
The airwaves, it's a finite, the spectrum is a finite resource. There's only so much of it. And not all of it's high quality. It's kind of like a monopoly board. Some of it's Boardwalk and Park Place. Some of it's Baltic and Mediterranean Avenue. And so AM radio exists on these airwaves. And you're right, there's a lot of important stuff that they have to be kept clear, if you're an AM radio station, you pay for a dedicated, you know, you pay for 570 AM or whatever, and that's your signal area, and you can't You can't have other things interfering with it because you bought it. You paid for it. It's your Spectrum real estate.
Yeah.
And again, we think we're solving X by replacing it with Y, and then we find out Y screws up X, A, B, D, and C. So, you know,
wow.
I'm going to look this up after we get off the phone because I find it humorous, not not at all surprising that the alleged solutions to fake climate change make things worse in yet another area of existence.
All right. Hey, the best to the world-famous Rufus. Almost forgot his name. World-famous dog there, Seton Motley.
Don't remind
you. Yeah, okay. And don't forget, go to lessgovernment.org. Seton Motley. Appreciate it, sir, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Hey, news item. This might surprise you, okay? Headline, Biden's bailout of Silicon Valley Bank helped save the investment flow into China's sensitive aerospace and defense companies. It was noted over the weekend that Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, was the bridge for USD capital investments for China Ventures. South China Morning Post reporting, the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, has created a sense of panic within China's tech startup and venture capital, VC sector, as the lender served as a bridge between U.S. capital and Chinese tech entrepreneurs. Uh-huh. Quote, is the 2008 financial crisis happening again? Said a user with the handle Maxi. China is the second largest venture capital market, and SVB was right in the middle of it. China's the world's second largest venture capital market across social media platform investors and startups are rushing to share new articles on the fiasco and thoughts on how to prevent such a catastrophic moment. For some companies, however, the impact is tangible. When China was still new to venture capital in the late 1990s, SVB was among the first financial institutions to start serving the country's startups while traditional risk-averse banks avoided them. Over time, the bank has become a popular option for China-based startups fundraising in USD as well as some China-focused USD venture capital firms. Listener, here's the kicker. What Biden left out in his scripted comments on Monday was that the Biden administration was bailing out China's venture capital business seeking USDs. And it's actually worse than we first thought. Biden's bailout of SVB actually helped Sequoia Capital China Advisors Limited. You get that? China Advisors Limited bailed out because Biden helped this entity invest in Orion Space, which is a developer, are you ready for this, of aerospace and defense initiatives for China. A developer of aerospace defense initiatives for China. Wow. Biden, you guys are up to it in your yang-yang. All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. Three sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7. Works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder here. You know, it is amazing when you have a chance to pick up some news items and check them out. And it's sort of, you know, you talk about things about that are going on and saying, why did they do that and why did they do this? And boy, I a lot of people just tune it out. But here's one that'll get for you here. All right, are you ready? California regulators voted Wednesday to ban gas furnaces and water heaters in one of the state's most populated regions, a move that will likely require locals to undergo costly home renovations. The Bay Area Quality District Board, a panel of appointees tasked with curbing pollutants for 9 California counties, voted Wednesday to block the installation of gas power appliances beginning in 2027. The board acknowledged that homeowners will have to spend thousands of dollars to install electric appliances and that the pivot away from natural gas will increase energy costs. The ban comes as Democrats nationwide set their sights on natural gas. The Biden administration has proposed a rule change that would effectively ban the sale of half of all gas stoves in the United States, a move Democrats had claimed was not on the table. Well, the Bay Area ban does not apply to gas stoves, though that offers little relief to residents. The ban will raise the cost of living in the overall priced Bay Area, where residents are already more likely to move than anyone else in the nation. Locals raised objections to the proposal through public comment letters, with one Palo Alto resident noting that replacing his gas furnace would cost up to $45,000. One resident worried that apartment buildings in San Francisco and Oakland would not be able to comply with the rule because new electric units will require ground space that they don't have. Others noted the move would increase already skyrocketing energy costs and housing prices. Californians have already seen their electricity prices spike nearly 70% since 2010 as the state started to break from fossil fuels. California's households pay nearly 83% more than the average for homes elsewhere in the United States. And regulators acknowledged in their report that on top of the expense for individual homeowners, the rules would add $243 million to $1 billion in infrastructure spending. The board assured concerned locals that it would keep tabs on the cost imposed by their ban and boasted that the rule could save 37 to 85 lives annually. You could save 37 lives. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And here's another interesting story over there. Officials in Japan are demanding that the government comes clean after the nation just recorded a staggering 210 excess deaths, the highest number since World War II. The Japanese government is coming under mounting pressure to tell the truth about the number of vaccine injuries and related deaths. A growing number of experts believe the country's vaccine mandates and the rollout of the mRNA COVID shots are directly linked to the soaring excess deaths. Japanese lawmaker Mr. Yoshinori Hifumi accused the Japanese government of covering up COVID-19 mRNA vaccine injuries and deaths. Hifumi, a high-profile Japanese politician who serves as a member of the House of Counselors of Japan, during an explosive speech before Japan's parliament, the National Diet, Hifumi revealed the shocking number of excess deaths that the country has recorded. And they assert that COVID didn't cause so many deaths. The excess deaths are expected and suspected to be caused by the adverse reactions to the COVID vaccine. Sometimes it's hard to face the truth.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I got Swayed at the network, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Well, once again, it's time for the world-famous Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And Selwyn also contributes to the college textbooks published by Gale Centage Learning. He appears on television, frequent guest on many radio shows, and his website is SelwynDuke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the world-famous Duke, Duke, Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
I don't know who that lady was in the background there. Could you hear her, Selwyn, singing? Try it one more time, lady.
maybe vaguely.
She'll try it
Chuck,
one more
how are
time.
You?
I'm fair to partly cloudy today and, yes, suffering a little bit of stuffed up ears. And hey, I got to ask you, are you wearing green?
No, I am not wearing green, I'm sorry
to say.
Hang on one second.
I got to put my hand in the microphone. Okay, reaching further there, further. Ah, did you feel that?
Yeah, that was a bad pinch, Chuck. Don't do that. Reaching across the country 3,000 miles like that.
3,001.
That's the long arm of the law, the long arm of Chuck.
Yeah, there you go, the long arm of Chuck. That would be a good radio name, wouldn't it? This is the long arm, or just Chief Long Arm.
Title, actually.
Yeah. I think I would go with Chief Long Arm because it's time the Indians got some more money. Might as well jump in there, you know.
Isn't that cultural appropriation, though, Chuck, using a name like that?
Well, you know, if I got to tell you something, I'm guilty of using a lot of names. I've had so many names in radio. It's almost like the alphabet. Really, seriously.
Okay, but are there any you can repeat? Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah, you know the one. I'm just going to tell you why we brought. Well, I brought this up actually, kind of, sort of. Anyway, the one that I got an objection to was whenever, you know, I would go to different states, right, and I would change names, radio names. Anyway, the one that I got the biggest objection to was the Rock and Roll Station in El Paso, Texas, because
really?
I used
your name?
I used the name Harry Ligg, L-E-G-G, and I told him it was French, and I go, oh, I see, Ligg, yes, it's a French name. You don't look French. I said, well, get over here and I'll kiss you. Isn't that what it's called, the French kiss? Anyway.
Be careful with that. But nowadays, anyway, I guess that's in, right?
Yeah, well, it's you can decide. I don't know. Come to think of that, you're going to have to do an article. How many times can you change your identity? You know, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. I'm an insect.
Mm.
I'm an animal. Of course, I've been an animal forever, you know, but anyway. But, you know, there's
The answer to that, Chuck, the answer to that is as many times as you want. You just have to identify as someone with a fluid identity, an ever-changing identity.
Ah, okay. In fact, okay. Let's get into some of your excellent reports, shall we? Einstein, they're not. City officials have been conned into signing an agreement with a fake country. That's what brought up my fake names, actually. That's kind of set that tumbling off there. it is interesting. I mean, clever, and this could have been a movie, I guess, right?
Yeah, it really is something, Chuck. That's why I opened mentioning that 1988 film, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I don't know how many people remember that, with Michael Caine and Steve Martin. Anyway, so Michael Caine played this con artist, and he was masquerading as a prince, I guess, from a presumably fake country, and he was scamming women out of money. But this is the stuff of movies. This is really pathetic but also funny, and I guess a lot of people have heard about this, but this occurred in Newark. Now, what do you think happened in Newark? Well, they actually signed an official sister city agreement with a country that doesn't exist, okay? And they were conned by a self-proclaimed godman, Chuck, who's actually on the run from the law, okay? Now, the guy who oversaw this stroke of genius is named Ross Baraka. He's Newark's mayor, and he is actually the son of this infamous playwright who we hear is anti-Semitic. His name was Amiri Baraka, but that was not his original name. His original name was Leroy Jones. Talk about identifying,
wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
So anyway, this guy Baraka, who fell victim to this scam, also has, get this, I looked it up, a Master of Arts degree in education supervision. You can't make these things up, Chuck. Education supervision. So as I put it in my article, well, he didn't demonstrate much education or proper supervision with this embarrassing incident that occurred. And basically what happened was this. The scam was created by this Indian self-proclaimed godman who goes by the name Nithyananda. Okay, he's a swami, he's a fugitive from India, he's on the run because he's been charged with rape. Okay, well, anyway, this guy Nithyananda actually created a website for this fake country, which he called Kailasa. So there's a website there, I accessed it. He created that when he was seeking asylum in Sri Lanka. So in January, because he approached the government of Newark, Newark actually held a signing ceremony where they honored the fake country and signed a cultural trade agreement, all right? So get this, and I'm quoting now Barstool Sports. The mayor, that's the Baraka fellow, made a statement that he hoped the deal would help political development and improve the lives of everyone in Newark and the fake nation of Kailasa. Of course, he didn't know it was a fake nation at the time. And then Barstool writes, Newark would take 6 days to realize that the country did not exist, as the deal was voided on January 18th. So anyway, you know, it's really, really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you real quick. If you go, if you go and you Google Kailasa, K-A-I-L-A-S-A, so is there actually a phony thing pretending it's a city, or is it just like nothing?
Well, it's a website. That's all it is, but you have to go beyond that, and that's what I was just going to mention. I mean, here's the thing. Of course, Baraka and the other city officials are being mocked mercilessly, but I put it in my article this way. I said, let's be fair. Let's be fair. I mean, you know, to debunk the whole thing, you'd have to go on something called the internet, right? And that would entail actually booting up a computer and pressing all them var buttons there. And there's also something known as the point of diminishing returns. And you have to understand, Chuck, it could have taken at least 35 seconds to ascertain that Kailasa is not a real country. And I mean, seriously, how much time can this Baraka guy really devote to pesky job-related matters, right?
And, yeah, you know, you just said it takes 35 seconds to learn that, and I ask you the question before I turn the page. So, you know what? Yeah, I could have learned it in 2 seconds, but no. My curiosity got the best of me. Yes, go ahead.
No, but that's the thing. It's curiosity. You're curious. Yeah. I'm sure that if you were approached like that, I know if I were, and someone said, hey, there's this country called Kailasa, well, we'd be very curious. We'd say, just out of intellectual curiosity, well, let me learn a little more about this place because I've never heard of it. But obviously, these Newark City officials, they weren't curious at all, and that really speaks volumes about
and
them.
And it must be a nice country because they're not sneaking across the border, apparently. Haven't heard
that
of them.
Is true.
That is true.
Not one illegal alien from Kailasa has fled that country to seek haven in ours. That is absolutely true, Chuck. That's an excellent point. Must be a beautiful place.
That's why I make
and
the
by
big
the way,
bucks. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, at the website for Kailasa, I understand you can actually apply for citizenship there. So it sounds nice. You might want to consider that.
Yeah.
But anyway, at this phony website, I looked it up. They actually have fabricated headlines such as, the United States of America signs bilateral agreement with the United States of Kailasa. And here's another. United Nations publishes report on the persecution of Kailasa's children and women. Boy, I hope they all end up being okay, Chuck.
Kailasa, I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Kailasa, okay. Yeah, I work on it. Yeah.
But just so you know, if it sounds convincing, again, you didn't have to do much research to find out it was all nonsense. I mean, the India Times here, this was cited by American Thinker, just to give them a hat tip. They wrote, the United States of Kailasa, USK, according to Nithyananda, is a Hindu nation with its own flag, passport, and even a central bank system. However, here's what it doesn't have. A geographical location. There are rumors of Nithyananda buying an island off the coast of Ecuador, and that his nation indeed is in one of the Ecuadorian islands. However, the Ecuadorian administration has confirmed that no such nation exists. Very recently, the USK, like I said before, has launched its citizenship application, and it also claims to serve as a nation for its population of 2 billion Hindus. So this guy, Nithyananda, Chuck, when he lies, I mean, this is not just George Santos. This is not just Joe Biden, okay? Those guys are pikers compared to this guy. When this guy tells his lies, he goes big. I mean, 2 billion Hindus. There aren't 2 billion Hindus in the whole world. Think about that.
You know what? And you say, and they have a central bank system. And I think, the way my brain works, that's CBS. See, so you have to be suspicious. It's not FOX, right? It's CBS. Never mind. Go ahead.
And, you know, let's point out, Chuck, that you just said it sounds like a nice place. Also consider this. Unlike Silicon Valley Bank, their banking system is not collapsed. Think about that.
That is true, yeah.
That is true. Good place to put your money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did a little more research on this Nithyananda fellow, and he is quite the narcissistic con artist. I mean, like I said, he makes George Santos and Biden look tame. Get this. Here are his claims, all right? This is according to the Deccan Chronicle, writing in 2018. He said that, quote, he can make monkeys, cows, and lions speak Sanskrit and Tamil, unquote. And you know, actually, those transformational abilities, Chuck, may be believable now that he's made monkeys out of Newark officials.
Yes.
But he also gets this. Nithyananda has reportedly asserted that he has discovered more than 400 paranormal abilities. He can increase his height, he said. He can disprove Einstein's E equals MC squared equation. He can open anyone's third eye.
Wow.
And he also said that he once delayed the sunrise for 40 minutes. And, yeah, I was wondering why it was so dark that morning. I don't know if you noticed that, Chuck.
Well, no, but, because you're the one that left your shade down, okay? Not me.
Okay. Actually, yeah. That's true with me. You should see my place. But anyway, you know, it's so funny just going ahead here. We're joking around, but...
Yeah, but you know, when you talk about, you know, that what he says he can do, you know, increase height, disapprove Einstein, and open anyone's third eye, you know, that should have been an indication right there. Let's run. Don't sign any papers, you know, but not with the United States. Yeah, we got about 40 seconds, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to look at the clock. So anyway, but just we have to be fair, though, again, at least the Newark officials didn't go the COVID policy route, because if they had done so, Chuck, they would still be telling residents 2 years from now to visit Kailasa that they've learned a lot from the Kailasans, and that if you dispute Kailasa's value, you're an un-American danger to society, right? That's what they'd be doing.
Yeah. And, you know, you have a comment on Obama, so, boy, we got to hang that one around. So right after the break, one more serious note. That's what it's under, listener.
That's a serious note.
It has to do with Obama. Now, he doesn't say which sex, you know, male, female, or whatever, undecided. But we got more from Selwyn Duke. And what is that website, Chuck? It's selwynduke.com, selwynduke.com.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. And the finale here of the city officials that were conned into signing agreement with a fake country. And here it is. How does Obama play a part in this?
Yeah, Chuck, we've been joking around, but there really is a very serious issue here, and this goes down to the character of our elected leaders. And in 2014, I wrote about this in an article titled Why Obama is Uneducated. And, you know, back then we heard, oh, Obama's so smart, he's not like G.W. Bush, and he thought he was the smartest guy in the room. And I said, well, yes, maybe that was true when he was alone in it. But here's the thing. Obama was someone who we remember in that speech, he pronounced the word corpsman three times. So he didn't just misspeak. But there's a reason why these left-wingers are like this, why to a man almost they do seem quite ignorant. And the reason is that they lack virtue. They lack love of truth. And when you lack love of truth, you're not going to be conscientious about seeking it, okay? And really, if you want to put it in a very pithy manner, you could say that leftists eschew facts. They avoid facts because their agenda is all about fiction. And think about this. Remember we would hear about these teachers who would talk about how we need new teaching paradigms? We can't just teach facts. No, they would say, facts, what are they? Well, yeah, that's reflective of what I'm talking about. Facts are very important because facts are little snippets of truth. They're little snippets of reality. And if you have enough facts, it's like pieces in a jigsaw puzzle. You have enough pieces. If you can assemble them, each one in its right place, you can see the big picture. You can see what reality is in general and be in touch with it. When you don't have facts, you can't do that. And like I said, this goes down to the character of these elected officials, because you don't have to know everything, but you do have to show due diligence. You go on the internet, you say, okay, I've never heard of this country. Let me make sure this is legitimate. And even if you don't smell a rat, like I said before, Chuck, at least you should be curious enough to want to know. I look things up all the time because I have a lust for knowledge, and that's how you're supposed to be. That's what these left-wingers lack, and that's why they shouldn't be entrusted with anything, least of all the reins of government. And as I conclude my article with, because I think it's a good line, as for Roz Baraka, the mayor of Newark, let's just hope we don't next hear that he sent $1 million taxpayer dollars to a Nigerian prince.
There you go. And facts,
you got
also,
those emails, Chuck?
Yeah, facts hold, what is it, the paragraph together, too, sometimes, you know. So,
yeah,
I'll tell you. Well, let's see. We were talking about so many things. I think it's we're gonna concentrate now, listener, on old white men. Now, don't tune out yet. Don't let that scare you. But this is another excellent article. Welsh government says statues of old white men need to be destroyed. You know, what's that old thing? They came for the, and I wasn't, and you know what I mean? And all of a sudden,
yeah,
they came for the old men, and there I was. Yes, man.
We'll get into this,
and we'll have to carry this over after the break, too. But this is from the Welsh government, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, just to put this in perspective, Chuck, here's how I open. I mean, just imagine that you invite a couple to stay at your home, right? And this home has been in your family for generations. But now imagine that because these people find pictures on your wall of grandpa and other ancestors to be offensive, some of your family members say, well, maybe we should take these things down or even destroy them. Now, what would you say about that? How would you describe those family members' mentality? Would you say they have a self-image problem, a lack of self-respect? Do they maybe have a desire for approval so overwhelming that it makes them prostrate themselves before others? Because whatever you call it, that's exactly what's happening with the Welsh national family. And we've heard a lot recently, Chuck, about dying whales, right? Well, we have that problem here, but this is not referring to whales that wash up on beaches. Here we have, okay, government guidance in Wales that actually states that statues of old white men, such as the Duke of Wellington and Admiral Lord Nelson, could be hidden or even destroyed to create, quote, the right historical narrative. And there I was quoting The Telegraph, the British publication. And time may be growing short, so let me just start this here. I'm going to quote the paper because some things speak for themselves. It continued, historical statues that often glorify powerful, older, able-bodied white men may be offensive to a more diverse modern public, according to a guidance which is expected to be finalized this month. Government's best... Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Right? Yeah, we'll pick up the rest of it in just a moment from Selwyn Duke, the New American, and his website, selwynduke.com. Welsh government says statues of old white men may need to be destroyed. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In an offbeat but engaging true story, Sean Astin plays a struggling businessman who gives a life-changing gift to his Holocaust survivor father, played by Judd Hirsch, in the family comedy I, Mordecai.
This is my father, Mordecai, and this is the story of how one small change...
The new iPhone.
...opened up his world.
Hello! This is first iPhone call.
And for a movie that's all about an iPhone, the title I, Mordecai, of course, begins with a lowercase I. And Carol Kane is on board to give an uppercase performance as the main character's long-suffering wife battling the beginnings of dementia. It's all affectionate and occasionally touching, despite some detracting animated interludes showing both sweetness and heartbreak of the distant past. Officially unrated, but with its adult themes and language, it would probably earn a PG-13. 2.5 stars for director Marvin Samuel's tribute to his own family, I, Mordecai, which is more than an ad for the iPhone.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder's CRN with my guest Selwyn Duke. SelwynDuke.com. Talking about the Welsh government says statues of old white men may need to be destroyed. And we'll get into the rest of it now with Selwyn.
Yeah, Chuck, like I said, I was reading from the Telegraph because some things just speak for themselves. So you just have to let these people with their own words hang themselves. So, continuing. The government's best practice advice states that councils and other public bodies should take action to set the right historical narrative. It says authorities could conceal commemorations and discreetly box monuments or enclose them creatively in new artworks. Street and buildings could also be changed, the guidance states, to remove offensive or unwanted names. Alternatively, offensive or unwanted items could be relocated or destroyed, the advisory documents state, while noting drawbacks including expense and the need for extensive public consultation. Oh, yeah, I mean, those pesky people putting in their 2 cents, right? The population. You can't have that, Chuck. But one more line. Public commemorations, including paintings, plaques, and statues, the advice states, should, quote, not insult or hurt fellow citizens. That's what it says, okay? Well, this is wokeism, Chuck, on steroids, of course. And, you know, the amazing thing here is they're anthropomorphizing these inanimate objects. They're talking about them as if they're people. What, a statue can offend, insult, or hurt citizens? I mean, how does that work? Is someone going to call the cops and say, hey, I want to file hate speech charges against Admiral Lord Nelson? And the police will say, he's dead. They'll say, I mean the statue. I mean, I passed him just minutes ago, and he hurled away.
And then they would say, did one of the arms fall off and hit you on the head? No. Oh, okay. Just check.
Yeah. And I mean, the Duke of Wellington statue, you've got to watch out for him because he's carrying a sword. He might lop your head off. But here's the serious part of this and what's so sad. I mean, offensiveness today, Chuck, has become a very, very curious notion because the people who talk about it most will present it as if it's some objective measure, when in reality, if you press them, they'll acknowledge that it's completely subjective. And by the way, what is the only time it can be objective? Is when something, if you believe in God, something may offend God, okay? And, of course, these cultural revolutionaries, they're secularists. They don't believe in God, so that's a non-starter there. But the truth is, and this is one of my longtime lines, Chuck, most everything offends someone, most everyone is offended by something, and as the saying goes, offense cannot be given, only taken. And not only that, if you think about this, okay, and this is the problem, it's subjective, like I said. Okay, well, this guidance states that existing monuments can be offensive to people today who see them in a different light, including as aggressors who conquered peoples to expand the British Empire. That's from the Telegraph again. Okay, but that whole notion can be offensive to British patriots, right? Okay, you see, it's subjective. So whose feelings are going to hold sway here? Whose feelings here are going to be converted into law or at least policy? Okay? And let me point out something else here. Wales has been, for all of its history, a, quote, white land. I have to mention that since identity politics today is all the rage. But now all of a sudden native Welshmen have to dispense with their heroes in history. Why? Allegedly in deference to foreigners who've come to their land and settled there. So they welcome these people with open arms, but now they actually have to denude their cultural landscape because supposedly these newcomers might be offended. And by the way, let me point this out, though, Chuck. Most of this really is driven by white academics. Let's just point that out. But again, how is all this for offensive? It certainly is offensive, okay? And then, you know, people have pointed out that when these statue topplers come, they never target icons of the left, right? No, they never do, okay? That's a double standard. Can't that be offensive, that double standard? And how about this one? We often hear, well, we can't have this white guy's statue around because he was a slave owner or he owned slaves, whatever, or supported slavery in some way. But wait a second. What about Islam's prophet Muhammad? Now, I know we're not going to see statues of him because Islam forbids representations of him in any way, even pictures. But nonetheless, Muslims exalt him as, quote, the perfect man. Are leftists going to complain about that? Because remember, Muhammad was not just a slave owner and trader, but he engaged in mass murder, in torture. He was a bandit, a caravan raider. He led military expeditions. No, the left's not going to complain about any of that. That's another double standard. Can that not be considered offensive? Okay, so it just goes on and on. But the bottom line here, Chuck, is, and I wrote about this years ago in a 2007 piece titled The Offensiveness of Taking Offense, all this is a ploy. Here's what's going on. The people who claim to be offended almost never really are. You know what the truth is? They just don't happen to like what you're saying, what you're doing, or what the status quo is, and they want to change those things. But they're not going to be honest. You see, if they were honest, they'd just say, Chuck, you know, I hate Western culture and white people, and I want these statues to come down. But that's not going to get them anywhere because that would be deemed offensive, okay? So what they do is they use the offensiveness ploy, and they shift the onus onto you. They say, oh, well, these statues offend me because of blank, and you just fill in some woke offense there, okay? And then all of a sudden now, you're supposed to be on your heels. You're supposed to say, no, no, whoa, I didn't mean to offend you. Wow, that's so terrible. We can't offend anyone. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. You know what? The truth is, as Fulton J. Sheen said, the former archbishop, he said, no, it's not that we lack tolerance. It's that we're awash in tolerance. We tolerate all sorts of things today that we shouldn't. We tolerate evil. We tolerate decadence. Remember what tolerance really means. Tolerance refers to the abiding of a perceived negative. I've said this before. You wouldn't tolerate a beautiful car or a delectable meal. You relish those things. You would have to tolerate bad weather or a harsh cold because you can't do anything about them, okay? So if you're saying that you're tolerating something, you're saying that at least you perceive it to be a negative, and guess what? If what you perceive to be a negative is actually a negative, objectively speaking, then there's no virtue in tolerating it. The only virtue lies in wiping it out if you can, because that's what's supposed to happen with evil.
That's the end game, you know. And when you mentioned beautiful car, I was thinking before that, you know, it's amazing that so many of these, people that just want to be offended by whatever, it's like, I don't like that statue because it's not smiling. Or I don't like that statue, it never moves. Or I don't like that statue, he looks too tall, his hair's too long. You know what I mean? The color's just not right. It's picky.
Chuck,
man, go ahead.
You know what I say about this? Look, the best defense is a good offense. My answer to that is, and I think everyone should embrace this, I'll just say, well, you've a right to be offended. That's your right, okay? You can be offended. That's okay. There's no written law. It's not in our Constitution. It's not in the Ten Commandments. It hasn't come down from heaven that states that you have a right to never, ever be offended. Guess what? Sometimes in life, you get offended. That's how it works. Put on your big boy pants and soldier on, snowflake. That's what I have to say.
Hey, excuse me for my moment of ignorance, but you know the statues of the presidents? Is that in South Dakota? Mm. I'm trying to think where that is.
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is that in South Dakota? Boy, I should know that, too.
Yeah, anyway.
But
Again, they've decided, hey, when July 4th rolls around, there's not going to be any fireworks, you know, from the Biden administration, right? Because Trump did that, and it was a really big deal, and they had airplanes flying over and fireworks going up, and there weren't any forest fires or mountain fires or anything like that. But isn't that amazing how they want to protect those statues? I mean, isn't that the reason they don't want to shoot off all the fireworks?
Maybe, but let me tell you something else there, Chuck. Some years ago when I was writing about this cultural revolution and this statue destruction, I wrote a little piece for the New American titled, When Will They Destroy Mount Rushmore? And sure enough, now I'm telling you, you can predict these things. There are left-wingers saying that we have to eliminate Mount Rushmore because you can't have these four white presidents looking over the country. After all, this is American Indian land. I just got one little thing wrong. The activists who are proposing this, they say, well, we don't want to blow up Mount Rushmore because that would actually destroy the land, and we can't have that, but it should be eliminated in some way. This is where this thinking takes us, my friend.
So you're right.
This is why you have to nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Don't give these people an inch.
So your writing came to be, huh? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest another title for you, okay?
Okay.
When will, that's two W's, yes, when will Chuck Wilder win the lottery and retire?
That I can't tell you, Chuck.
Well, maybe
I wish
happen.
We could win it together.
Yeah, there you go. I would even hold hands with you, Selwyn. Together we would go cash that check, yes, together.
Absolutely.
And say, wait a minute,
was
that a phony name there, Mr. Wilder? Oh, my goodness, we have to give all the money to Duke. Okay.
Now, I'd happily share it with you, Chuck. I'd even give you a kiss, a platonic kiss, if that happened.
I know.
But I'd be even willing to do that.
Yeah, there you go. No wonder you can't sleep at night. His dreams, listener. He has got all these weird dreams. Hey, guess what? I think we have time for the other one that I have. No doubt about we have time for it. Shocker. White ESPN analysts calls out black colleagues' racism and doesn't back down. Are you telling me that there's a white analyst who didn't back down? Okay, very good.
Mm. Yeah, amazingly, Chuck, he hasn't even been fired yet. It's really something. And this may be another indication that perhaps the worm is turning a little bit on wokeness, on political correctness. I mean, I'm not overly optimistic, but we are seeing pushback, for instance, with the MUS agenda, made-up sexual status agenda.
Yeah.
And now we have this. And what happened here was that I'll try to handle this quickly. I didn't know who these fellows were because I'm not a basketball fan. But there was this dust-up between J.J. Redick and Kendrick Perkins. They're both ex-NBA players, okay? And this was during ESPN show First Take. I had never watched it, by the way. But anyway, what happened was this Perkins fellow, he basically took issue with three white guys winning the MVP award over time. And he was saying, well, none of these guys were top 10 in scoring. I think that was his argument. And in particular, he mentioned the Nuggets big man, Nikola Jokic, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who's making a case for a third straight MVP award, the New York Post wrote. And he basically said that this Serbian was not qualified and that it was only happening, in so many words, because they're white. He said, look, we had this happen with Dirk Nowitzki, former Suns guard Steve Nash, and Jokic. And he said in a tweet, what do they all have in common? He was implying that they were getting special treatment because they were white. Well, anyway, this J.J. Redick fellow pushed back against this, and he said, well, you know, this is absolutely not true. I don't like what you did. And here's what he said. He said, what we've just witnessed is the problem with this show, where we create narratives that do not exist in reality. You, quote, are implying that the white voters that vote on NBA awards are racist, that they favor white people. You just said that. He was addressing Perkins. And Perkins got very, very upset on the show. He repeatedly protested, I did not. And it went back and forth. And basically, Perkins just said he didn't have much of an argument. He kept on repeating the same thing over again. I stated the facts.
Yeah. And let me,
but
let
anyway,
me
look,
ask you real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because you say that he said the players have ever been crowned NBA MVP without finishing in the top 10 scoring. Okay, noting they're all white. Was he saying that the whites did finish in the top 10 scoring, or they hadn't, and they're getting the award? That's where I couldn't quite figure it out.
Yeah. No, that they hadn't. And
but
I don't know how
legitimate. Yet they get the award, but they didn't finish in the top 10 scoring. And maybe the guy has a point, right?
Right. Well, I'm not an authority on basketball. That's what
I'm
I said
either,
in the article.
Know.
Yeah. Because I'm not a fan. And the truth is, though, I do know that there can be other measures. I'm sure scoring is not the only one. Now, someone who is an authority on basketball is Charles Barkley, of course, and he weighed in on this, and he said that Perkins was just absolutely full of nonsense. He said that he was glad that J.J. Redick challenged Perkins. He said, quote, "I'm glad he did it because when I first heard it, I said, man, this has got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard." That's what he said, so he doesn't think it has any merit, the criticism. But, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, because as you might guess, I've related this to deeper issues, and that's why I wrote about it. And something like this happened about 20 years ago. This was during the 2003 National Football League season, all right? And what happened was, back then, Rush Limbaugh, the late talk show host, he was doing commentary for the NFL because he was a real football aficionado. And there was a segment where he was commenting on then Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb. And what he said was that McNabb really was not that good of a quarterback and that he was only being hyped because the liberal media really wanted a black quarterback to be successful. That's what he said. And you know what happened to Limbaugh? He was fired because of that. Now, by the way, a little pit stop here, Chuck. I wrote about this years ago, and I mentioned that Limbaugh had been lynched by the media. And you know what that got me? That got me put on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch page, because
oh
I did that. And there's a backstory there. I'm not going to get into it. They had
I'll tell you, when you talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center, oh, boy, one of the most phoniest operations in America, you know? They have an agenda, so, you know, I don't know if you'd consider it a privilege to be on their list because at least you got their attention or what, but a lot of mistakes they make. I'm sorry, mistakes. Yes. Hey, we're going to be back. Wrap things up with Selwyn Duke in just a moment. Remember the website, SelwynDuke.com. SelwynDuke.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain. Pain from a sports injury.
If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder, pardon me, with Selwyn Duke. And Selwyn, you know, my producer back there at CRN, sent me a little note there because he's a big basketball fan, and I don't know if you had a chance to or if he talked to you about it, but he says Nikola Djokovic deserves the MVP. He's averaging a triple-double, which means his average in assists, rebounds, and points are all in the double digits, and only three other players in history have averaged triple-doubles. So we're going to have to dribble right out of the studio here and apologize for whatever we have done. I remember, I think it was Houston, though. You know, you were talking about football and black. And, boy, there was so much controversy on that. Send him to the moon, you know. No. Prejudice is something that if you get it, I think you have to cure yourself, don't you?
Well, yes, absolutely. But, you know, Chuck, here, actually, I'm going to defend this Perkins fellow who was criticizing these MVP awards, and here's how I'm going to defend him. G.K. Chesterton once noted that the problem with duels is not that someone dies, not the main problem. The main problem is that they don't really settle anything. They don't settle who's right. And this is the same thing. Whether it's Rush Limbaugh or it's this fellow Perkins, okay, they're being criticized because they said something and referenced race, okay? They're being called racist or prejudiced, but no one's discussing the most important thing. Are their allegations correct? And that's what we should be doing. And let's understand that group-associated associations or group-oriented associations often factor into success today. Kamala Harris, she wouldn't be vice president if she weren't female and non-white. We know that. On the other hand, you go back to the 1980s, Jerry Cooney, the boxing contender, he wouldn't have been as big as he was if he hadn't been white, competing in a mainly black realm. It goes on and on and on. So at the end of the day, we should be able to discuss these things intelligently and seek the truth. And that's not happening here. You know, we'll see the left, Chuck, say over and over again, well, we need to have an honest discussion about race. And they can't talk about race enough with their identity politics. But the truth is then if you try to have an honest discussion about race, they shout you down and they try to silence you by calling you names. So that really is the problem here. I'm not angry at Perkins because he made that allegation. Maybe he does have racism in his heart. I suspect that he does. But at the end of the day, we should be able to discuss these things rationally and intelligently And that's not happening. And that's the real problem with the criticism of these people, with this cancel culture. Okay? It's just like a duel. Someone dies here, metaphorically speaking, but nothing is really settled. The truth is not exposed.
The truth shall set you free, unless you're the one yeah. in the gun battle that died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Interesting article, and listener, I suggest you go to SelwynDuke.com and check it out. Shocker. White ESPN analyst calls out black colleagues' racism and doesn't back down. The only reason Tiger Woods sunk that putt was because he's black. What? Stop that. Okay. Hey, Selwyn, always a pleasure. And we'll do it next
Same
week,
here,
sir. All right. Thank you
God
very
bless.
Much.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, Suede. Thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.